Certainly thankful for the prayer that was offered on our behalf. I want to ask that you would continue to pray for us this morning and pray for those who are not with us today, that God would grant them a safe return home. I hope my voice didn't play out. I sang so much, but I felt like it. But anyway, ask for your prayers this morning as I try to speak from God's Word. And that song said, Blessed Assurance. And I'd like to speak on assurance this morning. And you know, I've thought a lot about this in days gone by, and what is the difference in what you and I believe and what so many of God's people believe out in the world? How much assurance do you have of your life and what will happen when death comes your way? Blessed assurance. You're certainly blessed if you understand the assurance you have in the finished work of Jesus Christ. A lot of people and a lot of God's people certainly do not understand this. It tells us over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, for our gospel, Paul said, and it wasn't his, but the one that Paul embraced and understood to be the truth and loved because of the Lord Jesus Christ, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. What is the assurance that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings to us in this life? Have you ever thought about that? How sure are you of what is going to happen when life comes to an end? You know, the one thing that I've come to realize is there's not a lot of messages preached about death. There's not a lot of people that want to talk about death. But let me give you an example of being sure or assurance. And every one of us understand this. Unless our Lord and Savior returns, unless this earth or this world as we know it comes to a complete end, there's one thing we can be certain and assured of. We're going to die. Every one of us. We're going to face that day, whether it be tragically as a young person or whether you live in the season and become old and your life ends. But death is sure and certain. You cannot believe how many people don't want to deal with the idea of death. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, if you have the full assurance of the gospel and the understanding, death is your friend. Because it tells us in 1 John chapter 3, I believe in verse 14, we know, let me go get that before I misquote it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now that's an example, and we'll talk about that a little more, the examples that we have in the Bible, that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so many people do not have this full assurance because they believe that the gospel is the means to an end. But the gospel is simply good news. It's not something that was written for you to follow and a mandate for you to do that you might one day live in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now, the Bible clearly and plainly teaches that all from who Jesus died for will live with him in eternity. Not a one will fail to be there because they're kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed at the last day. We are preserved in Jesus Christ. We don't preserve ourselves. You know, if you believe you go to heaven based on your behavior, then you'll never have the full assurance of the gospel. You'll never have it. We sing that song, and I spoke on a song last week, but we sing about blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. But really, do we believe that? Do we have that certainty that our life is in the hands of the Lord? Do we have that? Do we have that blessed assurance? Let's turn to, for just a moment, to Job chapter 14. I use these verses a lot at funerals, but I want you to think about the two questions that Job asked. These questions have been on the minds of human beings since the very beginning of time, since we were placed upon this earth. If a man die, shall he live again? You know, you've heard folks say, well, we're not certain what's going to happen. I've told numbers of times when I preached of a time that I was on an airplane for a four-hour ride between Baltimore and Maryland and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I sat with a Jewish lady who told me that she believed that when she was died and she was placed in the heart of the earth again, that was it. She would return to fertilizer, basically. I mean, what kind of assurance and what kind of joy would you have? But there are people who believe in reincarnation. In other words, you're going to die and come back as an animal or something of that nature. You know, I mean, This has been a lifelong question. What happens to us when we die? Now, there's one thing that we do know that happens. You know, I said death is certain, and we know that because how many loved ones have you went out and seen placed in the heart of the earth? There's nothing more assured to us if the Lord doesn't return than that death will come our way. We have put grandpa and grandma in the grave. We have put dad and mom in the grave many times. We put young ones in the grave that had tragedies or sicknesses or whatever. I mean, this is something that is real in life. It is something that many people do not want to deal with. But I'm telling you right now, we were born to die. We were. We're passing away. David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Amen.
From the first day that you're born till you pass from this life, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We were not created to live forever. How many scientists and how many people in the world have spent their entire life trying to extend human beings' lives, trying to see if there's a way that we can live here forever? I believe God prepares you to depart. And getting old helps to prepare us, does it not? Our bodies become frail. We lose our independence. One thing leads to the other. We lose the desires that we had when we were young folks. But how much assurance do you have? Do you have that blessed assurance? You know, I know folks that are as good a godly people, and I know they're children of God, but they don't have a lot of assurance. They're not certain. You know, my hope is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You know, He came for one purpose, to save sinners. And the Bible declares unto me that those He came to save, He saved. He didn't come to make salvation a possibility. For she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Not that He would give you that opportunity. It says He shall save His people. His people is a personal possessive pronoun, and the word shall says it cannot be undone. It shall happen. It will happen. But to have that assurance is something else. Job, long before the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, he asked that question. Before Jesus ever walked upon the earth, he says, if a man die, shall he live again? He answers that question. As I said, that's been a question upon the minds of God's children and even every human being forever. What's going to happen to me when death comes my way? Because death is going to come our way. He says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Job said long before the first appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, my Redeemer liveth. Job knew one thing that you and I knew, that we had to be redeemed. He tells us in the 19th chapter of the book of Job. He says in verse 25, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know, how did he know that? Jesus Christ, this was thousands of years before Christ's first appearance upon the earth. Because God taught it to him in his heart. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He's not talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the first advent. I can tell you right now, Jesus Christ will never stand back upon this earth. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we will meet him in the air. He will not ever step foot on his sin-cursed earth again. But his people, all the bodies will come out of the grave. And we'll meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But Job knew this, and he had an assurance long before Christ ever made his first appearance. Isn't that miraculous? He knew that he had to be redeemed. He knew that his sins had to be paid for. And yet he knew there was one that was going to pay for them. He had assurance like many of God's people do not have. But if you have that assurance, you have a great blessing that many of God's people don't have. You need to count it a rich blessing. He goes on and he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body. You know, when one of us pass from this life and we go to that sad day where we gather at the cemetery, and we've all done this many times. It's just a part of life. You know, Solomon said it very clearly, one generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. You know, this cycle of dying and being born goes on and on. You know, numbers of people will be buried one day and numbers of people will be born the same day. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. This cycle continues on and on. But he says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now, the Bible clearly tells us that the spirit leaves the body. When the body dies, we don't really die. You know, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's one evidence. If you love God's children, you love your brothers and sisters, it's an evidence. It's an evidence. But how much assurance do we have? Do you believe that what Jesus Christ came to do, he accomplished? Do you believe that he saved you from your sins? Do you believe he done all that was necessary to get you to heaven? Or that some of it's left into your hands? You know, I've heard people tell me that when Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance, that there are righteous people. If he did, then Paul was completely contradicting him in Romans chapter 3 when he says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. None righteous. Which way is it? Jesus said, I came not to call the self-righteous. These people like the Pharisees who believe that they're righteous and that they're not sinners. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And I'm telling you, that applies to folks that have joined the church, have been born of the Spirit of God. We still are sinners as long as we live upon this earth. I'm not proud of that, but I tell you, it's realistic. That's what we are. We continue to sin. You know, James made it clear that if you respect a person, you commit a sin. Think about that. That seems like a mild sin, but it took the same death, burial, and resurrection, the blood of Jesus Christ, to pay for that sin it did any other. All sins must be paid for by the blood of Christ for someone to go to heaven. How much assurance do you have, that blessed assurance that Jesus is yours, that he is mine, that he came and done everything necessary to get me to heaven? I believe the Bible tells us without a shadow of a doubt. That is what full assurance is. That is the much assurance that the gospel brings. You see, the gospel is not a means to an end. It's good news or good tidings. It's a declaration of what's happened. It's not a means to an end. So many people believe it is a means to an end. But Paul said, those who are not born of the Spirit cannot understand the word of God, nor bear the fruit. You know, it tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, when it begins to give us the fruits of the Spirit, one of those fruits is faith. A lot of people say, well, you got to have faith, and then you got to believe, and then you got to do this. We're told in Galatians by the Apostle Paul in chapter 5 that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Unless you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you do not have faith. That's not my word, that's God's word. How much assurance do you have when the end of your days come? You know, a lot of times in the Bible, the Lord will give us a natural illustration from the physical sense of things that'll go along in harmony with the spiritual things. Let's finish here. And he said, although my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. When we bury one of our loved ones, and when you and I are buried in the heart of the earth, our reins will be consumed in us. We'll begin to return to the dust from whence we came. But is that the end? I think we have a better hope than that. We have far more assurance that one day we'll live with the Lord. I can't imagine going to the end of my days and being torn apart about what's going to happen to me. Am I going to be with the Lord? If you love the Lord, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not whosoever will believe, whosoever believeth. I mean, the person that already believes and already has that love dwelling with them, it's an evidence that they are one of God's children. It's not what made them one of God's children. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. You know, we have an assurance that one day when this life ends, and it is brief at best, It seems so long and yet so short. As you look back over the days of your life, think about how long ago it was or how short a time ago it was when you was a kid or a young person, when your children were born and you were raising them. And it seems like a couple of flashes in our eyes and that's disappeared. And now we're grandparents, our children are gone, grown and gone away from home, and time passes fastly by. Life is brief at best. It is a watch in the night. It is like the grass, it says in the 90th Psalm, that's green in the morning and cut down in the evening. It soon passes away. And yet so many of God's children drive their stakes so deep in the earth as though they're going to live here forever. There's one man in the beginning of Scripture that we find in Hebrews 11, Abraham, who can tell you that he knew all the days of his life he was a stranger and a pilgrim upon this earth. He knew that. But I tell you, there's a lot of God's children who don't live as strangers and pilgrims. They believe their permanent residence is made here upon the earth. But soon we shall pass away. Death is nothing to fear. Death should be our friend. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Bible declares unto us that death is merely a sting. Let's notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and begin to read. And you've heard this talked about many times at funerals, but it is the truth. It's something that you should not fear. A lot of people fear death, even God's children. They don't know what's coming at the end of time. They don't understand it. And I know that I've not experienced death, but I tell you, I don't fear death. It says, behold, in verse 51, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That literally means that there will be people alive on this earth when the Lord comes back. But most of us won't be here. Most of us won't be here. How many have already passed on? Hundreds of thousands, millions, billions. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's going to be a change take place based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ done. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. For the child of God, death has already been swallowed up in victory. It already has been. You know, God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. The Bible makes that clear. He's the God of the living. O death, where is thy sting? The Bible tells us death is merely a sting. And that sting's coming to every one of us if the Lord don't come back before our days are done. Every one of us is going to feel that sting, but that's all it is. If you've ever been bit, if you've ever been stung, you know, it doesn't last long. Just as life is a vapor that appears for a little time, James said, and vanisheth away. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us our victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God gave us the victory. We didn't earn it. We didn't go out and search for it. He gave it to us by his sovereign and free grace. Now, I believe that the Bible teaches us that Jesus finished the work that he came to do. It began in Matthew 1:21 when he said, for she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I had the full assurance throughout Scripture that that's exactly what he came to do and that he completed the work, that he finished the work. But you know, many of God's people lack that full assurance. They live their life in bondage and in fear. It says over here in, let's read from Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, and it's a long chapter, it begins in the first half of that chapter talking about all the blessings that God's people have if they're obedient and walking after the Lord. Now, this isn't a natural sense, but in the last half of the chapter, it speaks about all the curses God's people will realize in disobedience. Now, as I stated earlier, many of the physical examples given to us and natural examples given to us in the Bible relate, or they're types and shadows of a spiritual experience that you and I would have. Let's notice what it says in verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked off the land where thou goest to possess it. Now, some people say, well, he's not talking about those in this day and age. I beg to differ. Because I tell you, all the Bible is God's truth, and it's all in perfect harmony. But we're going to get to the point that I believe many of God's children have here today. It says, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people from one end of the earth, even to the other. We know that's happened to the Jewish people. We know that's happened to those that were chosen of God in the Old Testament, which is representative of spiritual Israel, those that are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's very representative of that. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people from one end of the earth even to the other. And there shall, and thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart and failing eyes and sorrow of mind. You can't believe how many people from a spiritual sense have this problem. They're so fearful. They go on time and time again, rededicating their life and doing different things because of their fear, because of this bondage that they're in. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. Thou shalt have none assurance. I tell you, there's a lot of God's children today that have little assurance of their life and what's going to happen when death comes. You know, I know one thing. There's nothing I could do to make myself presentable to God and to enter into heaven. Because Jesus said that if you commit one sin, you're guilty of the entire law. You and I could never pay for one sin. Not one. You can never make it right. And God cannot wipe it off the map. He cannot excuse it and just let it go. Because in Hebrews 10, it says that the comers thereunto must be perfect. We can never be perfect in this life. I don't care how much you went to church. I don't care what you've done. You will never be perfect. Perfection will not happen. But you've been made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. God sees his children through the blood of Christ, and we've been made perfect. And we will be able to enter into heaven. Do you have the assurance that when Jesus came to do what God called upon him to do, that he finished it, he completed it, and he took care of your salvation? That you've been secured and one day you'll live with him in heaven? Do you have that security and that full assurance? Notice what it says back over in Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 11, I believe it is. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You know, we sing that song over and over, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Do you have that blessed assurance? Or do you live your life in fear and in doubt with great concerns of what's going to happen? Because one thing I can assure you of is death is coming to you. It's coming to me. You know, we may not have an assurance of what's going to happen after death. I believe the Bible gives us that assurance. And I believe that is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is not to make you a child of God. It's to give the assurance and the understanding and the evidence that you are one of the Lord's. You know, we're told in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, the most popularly quoted verse in all the Bible, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life because of his everlasting love. Whosoever believeth, that person that's already believing, it's an evidence that he's a child of God. We don't just believe because we chose to believe. That's a misnomer for so many people. And we're told in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians that it took the same power to make you to believe that it did to raise Christ from the grave. Do you have that power dwelling within you? Can you raise someone from the grave? If you don't, and you can't, you understand that can only come by the way of the Lord our God. We're told in John 5 and 25, verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Why did only some of the dead hear? First of all, you could go out to the cemetery and no dead person would ever hear. That's not talking about the resurrection at the end times, because he said it's now is when he was speaking those words. These were words of Jesus. Verily, verily, the hour is coming and now is. It was then and it's now, and it will be till the Lord comes back. There are those who are spiritually dead who God quickens and makes alive in the Lord Jesus Christ according to his sovereign choice. Let's notice what it says. Get a couple more verses over there, and I'm going to try to wind this down because I'm about to run out of the ability to speak. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, let's go back up to 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. This is Jesus speaking. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which he hath sent. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, not he that will hear, he that hears my word and believeth, he that's already believing it on him, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What greater assurance should we have? He goes on, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What a blessing it is to know that when God calls one of his children out of darkness into his marvelous light, that they are made willing in the day of his power. The psalmist says in 110, thy people will be willing in the day of thy power. He makes you willing. He makes you desire to follow after him. He gives you the ability to believe upon him when many won't. God, this is the work of the Lord, that you believe on him who he has sent, in John 6 and 29. Notice verse 28. It says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. 28 is dealing with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But 25 says, the hour is coming and now is. And it will be till the Lord comes back. Because it is Jesus who speaks his life-giving voice into person. The thing is, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because Jesus Christ died for you. He saved you from your sins, and he enabled you to believe. He enabled you to love him. You love him because he first loved you. Not because one day you turned over a new leaf, you decided to do something new. You love him because he first loved you. Not because somebody taught you that. You know, you can't teach someone just to love someone. You may try, but love comes from God. And God so loved, and he's manifested his love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you, that you should be called the Son of God. We think about these great evidences, and that's what gives us the great assurance that Jesus Christ has come and done what he planned to do. He came to save sinners. And he did save them. He didn't make salvation a possibility. He actually saved them. You know, can you imagine that those who believe that Jesus only made salvation a possibility, do you know it's very possible under that scenario that Jesus could have went to the cross of Calvary and died and not one person would be in heaven? It's hard to imagine it. But it's left up to man. That's a real possibility. His death would have been completely in vain. But the Bible declares unto us that all the Father giveth to him shall come to him. And he that cometh to him, he will no wise cast out. In other words, they were chosen by the Father. Jesus Christ agreed with the Father and the Holy Ghost in the everlasting covenant to die for the sins of those given to him. And the Holy Spirit agreed to call everyone that the Father chose, that the Son died for, into spiritual life. And we know that we are kept by the power of God. We're preserved in Jesus Christ, and we have that great assurance. If you have that assurance, you have a blessing that not every one of God's people have. It's not something that you should hold over other folks, but it's something that should give you freedom and liberty to do the most you can do for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you have that full assurance, and we're going to sing that song, and give the right hand of fellowship. If there's one here that has a desire to have a home in this church, you come forward at this time. Let's sing number 47 is our last song, or is our song here of invitation. You come forward at this time if you have a desire to have a home in the church. Number 47.